This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
Welcome to the Counter Narrative Podcast, a show designed to change the way we talk and think about education. By sharing stories of successes and triumphs, we aim to challenge the dominant narrative that often negatively portrays our disenfranchised populations. I'm your host, Charles Williams, an urban educator for more than 15 years, a current school principal in Chicago, an educational consultant, an equity advocate, and the co-host of Inside the Principal's Office. Let's get started. In this episode, I chat with Dana Goodyear, who has 23 years of experience in education. She has taught world languages and English, and has worked at the middle and elementary school levels as an administrator. Dana completed her doctorate degree in educational leadership in early 2020. She often speaks at conferences, providing educators with techniques to minimize off-task behavior and to increase time on task. She also writes blogs for the Teach Better team and is the author of Out of the Trenches, Stories of Resilient Educators, published by Road to Awesome. She is the host of the Out of the Trenches podcast, which features educators who share their stories of resiliency, and a show on which I was honored to be a guest. During our conversation, we focused on leadership and school culture in a post-pandemic world. Dana pointed out that administrators shouldn't just focus on those for whom they are responsible for evaluating, but should strive to create opportunities for building individual relationships with all staff members. She acknowledges that school leaders often become so consumed that the seemingly simple task is forgotten. But she also suggests that building those very relationships can not only help to diminish the issues they are addressing, but that it also paves the way for building even stronger relationships. In the end, it's cyclical. Are you ready to hear some more from this amazing educator? Let's go. Hello and welcome back to the Counter Narrative Podcast. As always, thank you for joining us in this space. If you are brand new, thank you. Thank you for checking out the show. I hope that you enjoy what you hear. And if you do, feel free to check out any of the other episodes. If you are coming back, thank you so much. And you are in for a treat. I have a wonderful guest on the show who does, you know, like all the things. And I was fortunate enough to be on her show recently. And so we said, hey, let's continue the conversation. Let's get you onto my show and just continue engaging, continue connecting. So today I have Dana Goodyear. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for reconnecting and your patience. For those of you listening, and I'm completely transparent in all of this, I typically set things up with my guests, and I sent Dana nothing until like 5 seconds before the show. So I do apologize, but I know, right? We're pros at having these conversations, so I'm not worried at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we both record a lot of podcasts, so you know we're ready to jump right in.
Exactly. So Dana, why don't we start off? Tell us a little bit about who you are. Your current role, your journey in education, and you know maybe something about you that not a lot of people know.
Yeah. So I've been in education for 23 years. I'm an AP currently, and right now I'm supporting the English language learner population at middle school level, and I support the co-teaching model that's going on between the core teachers and the English language support specialists, as they're called. And I've been in different roles prior to admin. I've worked as a dean of students. I've been like a behavior interventionist at the elementary level. I've worked as a teacher in English, both English for English language learners or multilingual learners, regular English language arts, and I taught French for about 13 years prior to doing the English and all the admin stuff. And I've, I would say in the past 3 years when I began podcasting, my podcast is turning 3 years old in a few days. So it's called Out of the Trenches. Once I began podcasting, I really kind of expanded my PLN to include, a lot of people on the Teach Better team. So I do a lot of blogging for the Teach Better team. I also speak at conferences. I have a few coming up next month. I published my book, Out of the Trenches, Stories of Resilient Educators, in December. And so I do a lot of just speaking, podcasting. I write some curriculum, both for students and PD. So I do a lot of things on the side as well. More so, I would say probably as we're coming up on summer, as we're recording this, more so in the summer when it comes to developing the PD, since I do have a full-time job. But yeah, so I kind of have my foot in a little bit of different areas.
Yeah. Well, like I said, right, you do all the things. And it keeps us busy. And so I have to ask a quick question. As an AP, and I was joking because as I was, I've been visiting schools and in connecting with some other APs.
Yeah.
What do your students call you? Do they call you just AP or do they?
No.
Okay.
They just call me Miss Goodyear.
Okay.
They don't even call me doctor, which it would be nice, but it's like, I'm not going to correct them. It's just, they know who I am. And it's not like I have to go in. When I was a dean, they would say Dean Goodyear, right?
Okay.
But it doesn't really sound like AP Goodyear. They just say Miss Goodyear, yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering. I literally was in a room not too long ago and a kid walked in and they said, hey, AP, to their AP.
And
three of us turned around and we're like, okay. It's a common thing. So, I appreciate you taking, a break from, all the things and connecting here with me. And so I'm curious kind of what direction you want to go, mm-hmm. as we're looking at having these conversations where, we're either pushing back or sharing a different perspective. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, I think what I'm really preoccupied with is school culture. Mm. And I read a lot of blogs on it. And how, shifts are still not happening as we're post-pandemic. And I just think, like, yesterday I read, it was pre-publishing. So I'm going to have a guest on my podcast I'm recording with next week. And it's a friend of mine. So he's provided me with the book. And I'm not going to give away anything about the title. But anyway, a lot of what he wrote was about school culture. And it had to do with the principal's first 90 days, right? Whether you're, starting a new school year or you're coming into a new building. And I think just, and this is something we discussed in the mastermind group I'm in yesterday, kind of what I'd read and what the shifts I think still need to happen in a lot of schools are. So yeah, I think we can go into that topic.
All right. Yeah. Now I'm very curious. I'm like, I wonder who this guest is. Do I know this guest? I was like, I know our circles are similar. Now I'm very curious. So, so let's jump in. Like, school culture is a big topic, right? And it's something that, in fact, my principal and I, we led a PLC this school year with leaders from across Chicago Public Schools. And it was about this. It was about culture and climate within our schools.
Yeah.
Stan Tall Steve does a great conversation. He's often at the Innovative School Summits and he talks about school culture. So I'm curious, as we're thinking culture within our schools, post-pandemic, this need that has supposed to have happened and yet we quite haven't made it. What lead me down the path? What are you thinking?
This is what I write in the Teach Better blogs a lot of the time. Like it comes from the top. Like a lot of the time I'm seeing that happens in districts is that they have principals, the principal's tenured, they can't really get rid of them. And even though they might have a coach, it's like a lot of it has to do with personality, right? if you have a principal who's not really good at getting to know their staff, then it's going to suffer. And the school culture is not going to be great because it trickles down to the students, right? So I think that is where we need to start when we're hiring principals, is to really get a feel for what the priorities of this. I mean, it's going to be the building priorities. It's going to be, you know, moving the school forward. Definitely, it's going to be connecting with families, building relationships with students and all those things. But also during the principal interviews, we really need to talk about, like, how do you connect with your staff? How do you value your staff, right? We're recording this during Teacher Appreciation Week. This should not be the only time that staff are feeling valued, right? I mean, and on a side note to Teacher Appreciation Week, I've been at some schools where they give you an individualized thing. Like last year, they had a Wordle that they made, and they framed a Wordle about what kids had said about the teachers.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, a lot of schools, they do like a themed lunch or something like that. And that's good that they provide something. I used to be in schools where all they give you was a Hershey's kiss at the end of the week. So I think it's improved in the last 6 to 7 years in terms of teacher appreciation. But really, you know, doing something individualized. I know it's harder the bigger staff you have, but really it starts from that interview process with a principal and really seeing where are their needs and what are their priorities in terms of really getting to know their staff, right? You know, when you have an admin team, let's say a principal and two APs, you're going to divide up who you're going to evaluate. But it should not only be the people who are evaluating who should get to know their staff members. The principal really needs to set the tone for getting to know staff. Getting to know new staff, getting to know late hired staff. I wrote a blog post about that. You know, finding out about what makes them tick. And this can also go back to that teacher appreciation or, you know, the notes in the boxes, but surveying your staff at the beginning of the year, finding out like what's their favorite candy bar, what's their, you know, what is something that they like doing in their free time, you know, and they, you know, something that could be like, a way of showing like, hey, we're going to give you some free movie tickets or whatever, right? For that free time activity, putt-putt golf or whatever it is, right? So I really think it's taking the extra time to build culture. A good idea as well, besides just the admin team, is maybe having a committee that really looks at staff connections. So it could be, you know, just a staff you know, there's different names that you could use, but like a staff connections committee, whatever name you want to come up with, like some committee that would plan for monthly get togethers. So it shouldn't just be that Friday afternoon happy hour, right? That's not everybody can go to, but maybe planning different nights of the week or weekend for different events that staff members might be able to go to get to know each other better. So yeah, I think it starts off with just, really setting the stage and the tone at the beginning of a school year, making that part of your 90-day plan.
You know, I'm curious, as I'm listening to you, you know, I immediately start to think, I was like, hey, all the things that I, you know, as a principal that I used to do, right? We would do like final Fridays, right? And it was, it was the last Friday of every month. We would go out, we would connect, you know, the surveys, the little things. And I think it's interesting because I'm hoping that there are people listening to this and they're like, Dana, this just makes sense. Like there's people out there, you know, my good friend, Debbie, you know, out on the East Coast, she mentions all the time. She's like, you know, you sit here, Charles, and you say all these things, but not all the leaders do those things. And so I'm listening to you and I'm having those thoughts. And so I'm curious, as a fellow leader, right, as an administrator within our schools, why do you think this is such a challenge? And I know you mentioned, you know, like post-pandemic. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but like it would make sense. Like we build connections, right? We talk about relationships all the time. Whenever you ask about how do we improve schools, and we say, well, there needs to be relationships, you know, with between students and their teachers, relationships. So why is it that school leaders often struggle with doing the exact same thing that we're preaching?
I think some of them just don't have maybe organizational tasks really lined out to where they can effectively do everything that's on their plate, right? I see administrators that I've worked with in different schools kind of run around with like a chicken with their head cut off, right? It's about delegating. It's about what can your admin assistant do? It's about, there's going to be things, there's going to be fires to put out. But I think the better the school culture is, the better you front load or prevent some of these fires in terms of student fights and, you know, things like that that happen in the hallways. I think the better you prevent those things, the better you get to know your staff and build the relationships with your staff, the less you're going to have of problems of those fires that you're going to have to put out. Right. Fires could also be staff members that come to your office angry about something that maybe wasn't communicated very well. Right. So, that's something I've seen is something comes out and maybe the district put it out before the principal put it out and it should have been the principal first. Right. And I think it's just really, making sure that you have learned from mistakes in the past, that you're following through with what you promise, that you, have that maybe those emails ready to go in case there's, you know, some type of a hold or lockdown situation. Or you delegate that to your admin assistant, right? So people aren't wondering what's going on when they call a hold, for the whole school, and people don't know, what is all this about, right? So I think it becomes pretty evident, I think, to staff members when somebody doesn't have maybe the priorities straight or maybe their lack of organizational skills in terms of communication and relationships. Cause that's some of the most important things when you're leading a school is really building, like you said, teachers are encouraged to build relationships with their students or they're going to have a lot of classroom management issues. Well, same thing goes with principals and their staff. Like, it's not going to be the classroom management, but it's going to be a lot of the back talk. It's going to be a lot of angry teachers when communication hasn't been put forth correctly.
You know, I want to stress that notion that you mentioned, we're busy, right? You're always busy. And I'm thinking about, a session I was at recently that just talks about bandwidth, right? Everybody's trying to expand their bandwidth. But we have to realize that we only have so much capacity, right? And understand that we need to prioritize. And while we might prioritize putting out those fires, dealing with all of those kind of peripheral issues, and I love this idea. You said, well, if you build relationships, it helps to diminish those fires, right? Mm-hmm. And then that becomes cyclical because the more those relationships build, the less fires, the more time you have to build relationships and so on and so forth. We prioritize these other things and then we wonder, why are we not making progress? Why are we not moving in the direction that we hoped? And maybe it's that we're prioritizing, the wrong things at times.
Mm-hmm. Because you can get stuck as an administrator. Those things that are the unplanned things, the parents showing up to complain about something, you can get stuck in a never-ending cycle of these parents showing up. Or these students having fights. I've been in a school that had that. Like, you can get stuck with that. And you don't get to prioritize those things. But it's like actually making it a priority, setting the stage at the beginning of the year to make those changes in school culture. And, let's say there is a new principal to a building and they're kind of trying to revitalize school culture after a previous principal has left, right? It's getting to know people on the leadership team and other, teacher leaders who can tell you about, well, this is what we'd like to see happen, right? If you're a new principal to a building. In terms of the parent, it's the communication, the first thing, the communication. How do we handle bullying? That's why a lot of parents are showing up, right? Teachers didn't get back to me about something. My kid feels, this way in class. Well, how are we asking our teachers to communicate with parents? And also, have we asked the teacher about a particular student? Right. Have we even seen, do we as the administrator, do we even know the student that this parent is coming in to talk about?
Yeah.
Because if we're not getting into classes, you know, we might not know this particular student. So, you know, throughout my career, I've seen a lot of administrators, they only get into classes when they have the necessary evaluation. So that's also an issue.
So I'm wondering, because this makes sense, right? This idea where we're saying that culture is absolutely necessary. There's no doubt about that. And this idea that we might find ourselves, if we're not careful, stuck in this cycle, and we'll never find our way out. And earlier you mentioned a few things, right? You mentioned this idea of like, hey, getting to know people, right? Using surveys or whatever it may be. So maybe there's a school leader listening to this and they're like, hey, you know, the year, right? It's summer, right? Because by the time the episode comes, we'll be out of school. You know, it's summer. I want to start next year off the right way. You know, I was in one of those cycles this year. I don't want to be in that cycle again. Do you have any ideas, suggestions of like, what can I do during that PD week? What can I do now during the summer to prepare myself to get ready so that way when my staff comes back that we're ready to go? And one of my primary focuses isn't about necessarily putting out fires and dealing with all those other issues. It's about building relationships with the people in my building.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes a long way. Like many districts, at least the larger districts, they have those staff surveys. Now, you know, they continue to ask, because that's what's going on in the district I work on. You know, they extend the deadline. Not everybody responds to the staff survey. But I think getting information from a staff survey for the specific building goes a long way. A lot of principals have a evaluation, anonymous evaluation from the staff members that they can look at. So anything that's that survey/evaluation, getting information from that. I also think, like I mentioned, the instructional leadership team, they call them a guiding coalitions in some schools now, a team of teacher leaders that can meet, maybe having an exit meeting at the end of the school year. I know we're in the summer as this comes out, but having that exit meeting, like what are our priorities going to be as we come back for those teacher work days? And then jotting down some of the ideas, whether you're a new principal coming into the building or a continuing principal, looking at some of the points on the survey that can be improved, looking at what are some things that did not go well. Like, how can we improve on the things that did not go well? I also think for administrators that don't necessarily get into the classrooms or get into the hallways, and if they want to change that, I would just go back and look at video from, you know, security video, typical day in the hallways, right? If they're not getting in the hallways, just pull up, you know, whatever your district security has. Sometimes it expires after a week, but pull up video as soon as you can, if that's going to expire, and look at the student behavior in the hallway, because that can give you a lot of indication for how school culture is, right? You know, ask teachers, maybe, you know, as you come back, like what are the things that were borderline sending students to the office with, but that you dealt with in class that were maybe kind of their pet peeves. You know, a lot of it can be you know, student name calling. It can be students, just lack of respect for other students, right? It can be students' proximity to other students, those types of things. So, so I really think it's getting the data, it's analyzing the data, it's looking at behaviors and how we can change behaviors, how we can set the stage when students come back. A lot of the time it does come down to those talks that we have with grade levels, but it's not just like somebody getting up in front of the grade level and having like a slideshow presentation. It could be maybe a dean, an AP, and a principal going into classrooms, going into advisory classes and talking to just those 25, 30 kids in a class and having those conversations. Like, what is something that you'd like to see change this year? Once students come back, right? Not talking to that large group of the whole grade level, because that could be a couple hundred kids or so. So I just think it's really getting student and staff feedback moving forward with that. student leadership teams help a lot as well.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm thinking about, you know, for me as I was doing this, you're like, well, what worked well for me, right? Not just mm-hmm. as a school leader, but when I was a staff member, right? Just, mm-hmm. you know, when I was in the classrooms, when I was first starting out. And I loved those opportunities to be able just to have conversation, right? Like, you get to know me by having a conversation with me. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about work, but taking that genuine interest. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, one of the feedback or one of the first responses, I think, well, when do you have time, right? When do I have time for that? And I've been fortunate enough to sit in a series. Chicago Public Schools has something called the Department of Principal Quality. And recently we were having conversations, you know, and it's a blend, right? There are some brand new principals, people aspiring to become principals and leaders. And then those of us who have been around for a while. And, you know, one of the things we talked about was developing those barriers, right? Like, the open door policy is great in theory, but like setting those barriers. And one of the things that I loved was a principal who said, you know, I schedule time. Like, for those parents, as we talked about earlier, you know, Monday mornings, right, because of the chaos of the weekends, and Friday afternoons, like, those are my parent times. Like, if I'm going to be intentional about being in my hallways, in my classrooms, I need to be able to say, like, I am absolutely available to you mm-hmm. during these times. Like, you know, and I would want to couple with what you're saying is, these things are all true. For those school leaders who are listening, these things are absolutely possible, absolutely. But you need to figure out your boundaries, your barriers, so that way you can make these things happen, right? Because mm-hmm, if you're bending to the will of every single person at every single moment, you're never going to get those things accomplished. So I love those ideas that you shared. Can I ask, right, as an educator, what was the approach that worked best for you that you felt was the most authentic way for your leaders to build relationships with you?
I think actually coming into my classroom, meeting me where I was, you know, and not having like a Google Meet sent out, like, come to the principal's office, right? For an yeah. AP or principal to actually, you know, be in the space that the teacher works in. To have that conversation, I think, goes a long way.
Yeah.
Because then they can see what your classroom looks like. Then they can like comment on some of the things. They can see student work. They might be there for, you know, a few minutes at the end of the period, connect with students, right? And then they're taking interest in what you're doing on mm-hmm. a day-to-day basis mm-hmm. rather than you coming to them. And I think it's a lot, I think you feel more comfortable also having a conversation, whether it's a, you know, feedback from a observation, or it's just like you, the teacher has an issue that you want to discuss with the principal. You know, their teachers are much more open to having those conversations with an admin in their own space.
Yeah, it's a bit nerve wracking, right? Like when yeah. it's like, hey, I need to talk to you, right? And you're like, what did I do? well, Dana, I want to say thank you. I think that you're bringing up a great topic, this idea of culture. Again, it's just one of those things that I think we talk about so often. It's so commonplace
yeah.
That we maybe don't always pause and reflect, like, are we actually doing it? Are we actually being intentional? Are we actually building a strong culture? Or is it just that thing that we're talking about, but we get so bogged down with the nuances of our day? So I appreciate you bringing this up. And for you as listeners, I hope that you're going to take this summer and think about, you know, some of these ideas and tips that Dana shared. So that way, when August rolls around, or September, for those of you going back after Labor Day, like, it's like, hey, I can begin anew. I could begin fresh, because there's always that opportunity to, right, to fix things that you want to fix.
Yeah. And like I mentioned, I think a lot of we're talking kind of post-pandemic, because I remember, you know, when people were teaching virtually or there was a hybrid situation, they always talked about, oh, we're going to take care of our staff. You know, we're going to appreciate what the staff's doing. But it's like, there's a lot of schools where the staff just feels kind of left by the wayside. Like, you know, kind of the same old, like, you know, and that's, we had a lot of educators leave their profession between 2020 and 2022, maybe not so quite so many in 2023, but do we want to keep the people we have? And do we want new educators to come into the profession? We really need to show them we care by building those relationships.
Absolutely. Well, Dana, first of all, you know, thank you, of course, for being on the show. But I just want to say thank you as well for doing the work, right? And you could just, and I don't want to just say just, but you could be, you know, an AP and say, I'm okay here, but you're doing all the things. So I appreciate the impact that you're having on the world of education. It is helpful. It is beneficial. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
No problem. That's what I love doing.
Well, then I'm sure that our paths are going to continue to cross, you know, whether it is, you know, in these spaces or, you know, like at the Teach Better conference or something along those lines. But I look forward to connecting and talking to you soon.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me on, and we'll definitely see each other in the future, probably at the conference first thing.
I want to thank you for listening to the Counter Narrative Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to like, subscribe, and of course, share it with friends and family. I'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show, so please leave a comment or two as well. Now, I'm not sure what platform you're using, but the show can be found on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and plenty of other platforms. If the show isn't on your preferred site, let me know, and I'll be sure to get it up and running. This podcast is also featured on schoolrubric.com, where you can find educational articles, videos, and interviews with educators from around the globe. Be sure to connect with me and other listeners by following the show on Twitter at the CN Podcast and joining the show's Facebook group. Take care.